Ini mungkin ada, mungkin ada. Ini cintok pun, ang menyini ini, ang bekas kecil pun ada. Macam ke? Ini ang kembali cok. Yeah, right? Okay, that was good morning. We're all gathered together. I'm looking at all you guys and I am excited. And then I said, what? You don't get what I'm talking about? Okay, there's the Iski language. Yeah, my name is Seth Callahan. My wife, Rochelle, the pretty one in the picture there, is sitting just over here. Afterwards, if you guys all just want to go and talk to her, she would just love it because she's the shy one. I'm the more out there one. Three boys, Manny, Tucker, and Griffin, our three boys, our three little jungle monkeys. We work in Papua New Guinea. As a bit of a backstory, yeah, I was born and raised in Fort Ann, New York, just an hour north of here, a small little town. You probably have gone through it if you've ever gone to Vermont from here, but if you blinked, then you missed it. So that it's just this little podunk town. That was my whole existence, was growing up over there. Rochelle is totally different. She grew up in Guinea, West Africa. Her parents were missionaries with New Tribes Mission. And so from the age of 2 to 18, she was growing up over there and right near the Ivory Coast. So Africa's got that big hump on it that faces America. Right on the bottom of that hump, there's Senegal, and then right underneath that, there's Guinea, just a little country. That's where my wife grew up over there. And we are, like Dustin said, with Ethnos 360, or New Tribes Mission is what it was founded as. We've recently changed our name. And guys, I'm excited to be here. I'm really pumped. We've been looking forward to this weekend for a very long time, ever since I got to meet with your missions team and your pastors. And thank you, all you guys, for inviting me back. They heard me talk, and they actually said, yes, you can come and speak. So I was excited about that. It's always a toss-up there when I get to talk to people, whether they'll be happy or just offended. So I go to the extremes, usually, with my interactions with people. You love me or you hate me tends to be how it goes with me. All right, we have a lot of content to get through today. So buckle up. We're going to be moving. So I hope you all drank your coffee. Okay. Start off, who here reads the Bible? Good, I was hoping a lot of hands would go up for that. Good, that's great. All right, so with that, quick question for you then, is who God is fully encompassed in the pages of Scripture? Some heads nodding, some heads shaking. Is who God is fully encompassed in the pages of Scripture? Let me ask a little bit different. Is there more to God than what he has revealed to us in God's word? Yeah, right? Okay, so God is this. He's given us this in the pages of Scripture. Scripture says this over and over and over. Scripture defines itself. The book cannot contain just the life of Jesus and what he did in his earthly ministry. The book cannot contain it. The world doesn't have enough ink and paper, I think is how John put it, that we can't put all of who God is in the Bible. So as we consider that, as we think, God is this, but he gave us this to work with. Not heresy here, right? Is the Bible totally true, and is it the authoritative word of God? Yeah, I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying there's more to God than what he's given us. In eternity, I think there's going to be an eternity of discovery, of finding out more and more about who our God is and how awesome he is. But with that, as we look at Scripture, okay, if God knows he's this, he's like, I'm only going to give these people this much information about me. Do you think maybe he was a little bit intentional with what information he gave, right? I would be. If I was like, okay, I only got 10 sentences to describe myself to someone, okay, I'm going to be very intentional about what I put in those 10 sentences. I'm not just going to talk about my favorite color or something. I want them to really understand who I am. I want them to understand the most important things, the things that are most important for these people to know. That's what I'm going to give them. That's what we have in Scripture, divine revelation. There's a lot we don't know, and God's like, yeah, you know what? In eternity, you'll find out, but for now, I really want you to have this. So anytime we see something in Scripture, right, anytime you read God's word, you're already getting a very important message from God. If something's been mentioned one time in Scripture, we should be paying attention because that was not an accident. God very intentionally said, this is something I want my people to know. This is important to me. If you see it one time, it's already been trimmed out. It's already been taken from this and condensed down. This is so important, okay? So as we engage with Scripture this morning, let's keep that in mind. It's not just, oh yeah, there's the Bible. No, the Bible is already the idiot's guide. Let's condense it down. I'm going to make this so simple, and not just simple, but this is what you have to know. The Cliff's Notes, that's what I was trying to say. The Cliff's Notes version. It's like, this is what I want you to have. So let's look at some Scripture this morning. From 2 Corinthians 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. This means is referring to basically the gospel, your new life in Christ. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Okay, God has said something. He's given it to us. He's preserved his word so that we could have this now and understand it. Right, so if God tells us something one time, is it important? Does it merit our attention? Yeah. What if God says something five times? Right? Any student of the word, God's not stuttering and just saying something. No, if God says it once, it's important. If he says it twice, ears should be perking up. Three times, four times, okay. Five times, okay, something must be important here. He's really trying to drive something home. So let's read this again here. And notice the same thing being said over and over and over, five times in as many sentences. Start a little bit of the ways down here. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message. So we are Christ's ambassadors. It's implicit there. An ambassador is one who's going out with a message to someone else. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Okay. Five times in five sentences, God says the exact same thing over and over and over. I am taking my church and I'm reaching the world with it. I am going to reach the world with these people. Okay, you are my ambassadors. You are my mouthpiece. You are the ones that I am going to use to reach the world. Okay, I try not to argue with God too much. I mean, I try. I try to just be like, okay, God, you said it. That's good. I don't always do that. This would be one of the issues where I do struggle with God a little bit. Because as I look at the options God had available to him, right? He says, okay, I've got this exorbitantly important message that I really, really, really want to get out. Right? God so loved the world so much that he sent his son. Okay, must be important. He sacrificed his son for it. He wants the world. It's like, okay, this is my value. This is what I'm driving at. How am I going to accomplish that? And my thought instantly goes to, okay, send the angels. Send the angels, God. As far as we know, they don't need to sleep. They don't need to eat. And it looks like, according to Scripture, they can speak languages, lots of them, because they appear to all sorts of different people and communicate clearly, right? And they don't sin, the good ones, right? You're guaranteed. They'll do what you want. Send the angels, God. Get it done. That's right. It's an important message. Send the A-team. Right? Not the military, the show A-team. I meant like the, sorry. Yeah. Send the angels, right? Send the angels. Do that, God. Or, okay, if you don't want to send the angels, God, how about this? How about you just put like a YouTube video loop inside of everybody's consciousness, right? Like a psycho cinematic experience where everybody is just watching the Jesus film in their brain, like a vision in their language. God, why don't you do that? Because could God do that? Yeah. That'd be easy, right? Easy peasy. But God didn't do it. And I'm like, why? He's like, no, I'm going to use the fallible humans who can't seem to do anything right and can't hardly go a day without disobeying me. I'm going to use those guys. That's how I'm going to reach the world. So God and I butt heads a little bit on this one, but I defer. Okay, God, you're God. I'll go with it. But he also doesn't leave it up for debate. He says, this is how I'm going to do it. Okay, we read Revelation a little bit. That's a really cool scene. And all the things that are going on in Revelation, we get this little glimpse of what's going on in heaven at some point during the end times. And we see that God has surrounding his throne a multitude too great to count from every tribe, every tongue, every language. That's what it says. Every tribe, every tongue, every language are standing on the throne of God saying, awesome is our God. You are our Savior. You're the best. Okay, we see that happening. We know it's going to happen. We know from the Great Commission that Christ has told us to go to every tribe, tongue, and nation, right? He's told us to go. So we know what God wants. We know it is going to happen. And here we have the means. This is how God is going to accomplish that. He says, okay, Revelation, look, this is what I'm going to do. And then in 2 Corinthians here we have, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to use my church, I'm going to use my people, send them out as ambassadors to the uttermost parts of the earth, to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and that is how I'm going to surround my throne with people who are part of my family, who I've redeemed back. Pretty cool stuff. So then that begs the question, okay, I get where God's going. Now we see how he's going to be doing that. How are we doing? How are we doing on that, church, right? Because if you're here and you're a follower of Christ, you are part of the bride of Christ. You are part of the church. The commission was given to the church, right? That's how he's going to do it. We say, oh, God's going to reach this world. That's right, he is. Through you. We can't just, oh, God will do it. God will do it. Yeah, he's going to do it through the church, right? You just sang that song, God, I ask for the nations. Well, good. God's given them to you. He's given them to the church. The nations are yours to reach, is what God says to the church, right? We asked for the nations. God gave us the nations. Now, let's engage with that. 6,000 languages in the world. All the numbers I'll share here are conservative estimates. You could always go higher. I'm going to the low end. 6,000 languages in the world today. 3,500 of those have the gospel available to them in their language. They have a written portion of the New Testament. They have the gospel. They have a church among them. They have Christians among them. That's great, right? Good job, church. In 2,000 years, we have reached over half of those languages, but that also leaves 2,500 languages that are unreached with the gospel in the world today. 2,500 languages that do not have the gospel available to them in their mother tongue, right? That's kind of impressive. That's a little bit of a gut check. Roughly 3 billion people. 3 billion people in the world today do not have access to God's word. I'm not talking about people who don't believe. I'm talking about people who do not have access in their language to the word of God. Okay? That's an impressive statistic. I know it gets, and when I say unreached, I mean they don't have Christians living among them, and we call them unreached and unengaged. They don't have Christians among them, they don't have a New Testament available to them, and they don't have the church trying to do anything with them. They're there, right? They're the hard ones to get to, the hard ones to engage with. The easy ones are done. The easy ones the church went to. These guys that are left are being left alone. When I say unreached, I mean unreached by the gospel. I know when I use numbers like that, they say, oh, 2,500 or 3 billion people, those big numbers, they're hard to get our minds around. So to help put it in perspective, Dustin, can you come up here for a minute? Nothing embarrassing. Do you mind? Yep. So to put it in perspective, what does that look like? What does it look like to have 2,500 languages not have the gospel? Can you just take that and walk towards the back of the church for me? Easy, easy, easy. You're going to give me a paper cut. Okay. This is a list that Wycliffe Bible Translators has put together. This is the 2,500 languages that we know of that do not have God's word available. We have the country, the people group, the language group. We have the country. Slow down. We have the people group, the country, the population, okay, and we have their status as, do they have a definite need or a possible need of a New Testament translation? Not the Bible, just the New Testament. There we go. We reached the end. Oh, your church was big enough, okay? 2,500 languages right here. This isn't any smoke and mirrors. It's 12-point font, single-spaced, going along the line. As you read through this list, I'll leave it here for you guys to engage with later on. As you read through the list, you'll see that we're not talking about populations of 300, 400 little tribe things. Some of these languages have over 1 million people in them. 1 million people in a language, and they have no access to God's word in their language. It's not there. That's burdensome, right? This is what we're born into. This is where we are right now. This is the task that Christ has given to the church, is I want my message of salvation to go out to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and we have today 2,500 that do not have any access to God's word in their language. This is the task that I'm talking about. This is when we read 2 Corinthians, and he says, you are my ambassadors, and read the Great Commission, where he says, go to every tribe, tongue, and nation. Okay, this is what he's talking about. This is what he's saying. When he says, you're my mouthpiece to the world, okay, this is the world. This is the group that he's looking for. I'll leave that out. If you just want to let it lay there on the floor, I'll have to roll it up careful later. But I'll leave it there for you guys can look at it. And it's not like they're not unreached because we don't know about them. Google it. We know everything about these people. We know where they are. We know where they live. We know how many of them are. And we know there's absolutely nothing being done about them. And we're like, huh, okay. And we go on. Like, it's not ignorance that is leaving these people unreached. That's not the issue. So with all that in mind, now we'll share a little bit about our context, and I just want you to use this as an illustration of I laying down heavy stuff here, and these are kind of hard truths, hard realities, and they're a bit different from what we normally think about and engage with. So that's the backdrop. That's kind of the motivation. That's the impetus behind this. And this is the next part is just going to be kind of an illustration of what this could look like. If you're thinking, you know what, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that list. That makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like those numbers. That makes my belly not feel good. When I think about someone who actually doesn't have any access to God's word, they could stand there and ask the question, there's got to be something more than what we have here. There's got to be more than spirit worship. There's got to be more than worshiping my ancestors. There's got to be more than trying to live a good life. There's got to be more. And there's crickets chirping. There's nothing available for them. Okay, I don't like that. So how can we change it? What can we do? What can we do? Okay, so the next bit will just be, here's some options for what we can do. For Rochelle and I, specifically, so this is also, people ask, like, when were you called to missions? Well, when I saw this list. This was my call to missions, was just the reality of what we're a part of. So we've taken this and we're, well, doing the best that we can. But so here's just a little bit of an example of how this is working for us. We do live in the island nation of Papua New Guinea. It's this little half of the island right next to Indonesia. It's roughly the size of California, geographical-wise, and we're up here in the swampy northern section. You guys, I don't know if you've seen in the news, a lot of earthquakes happening in Papua New Guinea, and mudslides and all that stuff. That's happening here in the highlands area. We're down at 100-foot sea level. There's not a mountain above 30 feet. So we're not being affected by that, but we're in a swamp-type area. These are the Iski people. This is supposed to be the third. All right. These are the guys we live and work amongst. The Iski, or the Binyange, as they call themselves. They don't always dress like this. This was a special celebration going on. It was for New Year's. They were putting on a thing. So they kind of put on their Sunday best, got all decked out and stuff. But I like this as an illustration because it shows that the guys that we're working with, the people that we're living amongst, okay, you look at that guy and you're like, hey, I think he might look at the world a little bit different than me. I think his outlook might be a little different. I think his worldview is probably not the same as mine. And so when he puts on a t-shirt and board shorts and is walking around, and you're like, okay, now that guy's, you know, in our mind, oh, now he's normal, right? He looks like I do when how he stuff. Okay, the thinking is still this. This is what the Iski are born in. This is what the Iski believe. This is what they believe for thousands of years. Spirit worship, okay, you're gonna manipulate the world around you by different acts and different things that you can do to appease the spirit world and stuff. These are the Iski people. That's who we work amongst. This is a village where we live. Our houses are right here. Ours and our two missionary families are here. This is Oguru Village. It's on a ridge right here, going along about 300 people in our village, and the rest is all just kind of like swamp and mud and jungle. The only way into our village is a 45-minute helicopter flight for us. We can hike out and stuff. It takes about a day and a half to get out to civilization, but that's like with a backpack. If you're actually going to go into your family and supplies and things like that and live there, then it's a helicopter is the only way. There's no roads. There's no schools. There's no aid posts. No electricity. All that jazz. So there's our heli coming in. That's our partner's house there. So that's our front yard. It's taken from our porch there so the boys play. That's our way in and out. So we're a bit off the beaten path. Actually, we're directly on a beaten path, but we're not close to any, you know, stuff. There's our house. You can see we installed a rainbow a little while ago. It really brightened up the place. We like that. So we're collecting rainwater as our water source. We have solar panels and batteries to give us some basic electric stuff. And that's where we live. That's our context. Rochelle and I are working right now. We're in the middle of our culture and language acquisition time. So the Iski language, or the Binyange language, is an unwritten language, or it was before our team went in, an unwritten language. A legitimate language, as intricate and put together as English. It has everything that a language has, but it had no written form. So when we went in amongst the people, there's no Rosetta Stone, there's no Babel, there's us and them. And there was a trade language we were able to use a little bit. So we're getting out with the people, engaging with life with them, and trying to learn the language and the culture much in the way that a child would learn language and culture. Just being around, picking up the words in the context, and having some formal language study as well, where we sit down and say, Set inyi smokono surunu obo minchiti. Seth, pick up the cup and set it down. Oh, okay. And I pick up the plate. No, that's Orno. Pick up the smoke. No, no, okay. And doing that just like a little kid. It's really embarrassing and humiliating. But we've been doing that for years. I'm about halfway through the language right now. Sentence level, I could do what I did this morning with you guys. I'm still working getting the paragraph level. A lot of things change in the language. It's, a difficult language for me. But so we're in the middle of engaging with the people, getting out there, going through life with them so that we can communicate truths like this to the Iski people. Pastor Peter, could you please, for the benefit of the group, just belt that out for me? Just so for the people in the back who can't quite see it, could you just read that for... All right, he got Iski. That was great. That was great. No, you're a pro. Okay, good. So that is, this is the Iski language in written form. My partners, they're smarter than me. They were there a little bit before us. We joined a little bit later. We joined the team. They were able to take the Iski language, crack the code, and develop an orthography, develop the alphabet, and put it into written form. So this is the Iski language in written form. It says, Tigundugu sasrambatma esinga tigniski. That's easy, right? Tigundugu sasrambatma esinga tigniski. Tigni, road. Oh, sorry, Pastor, you didn't have a chance. It's letters like we use them, but with totally different sounds ascribed to them. So, Tigni, road, undugu, one, sasarambatma, the man who is saving, esinge, nothing, Tigni, road, iski, there is not. Oh, sorry, esinge, another. Tigni, road, iski, nothing, it isn't there. One road, the saving man, there is no other road, right? Cool truth. That's what that looks like in the Iski language. One road, the saving man, there is no other road, is how you'd say that as the English equivalent. Kind of like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So after, I'll get to that in a minute. So there's the Iski language. We want to get to the point that we can communicate in their mother tongue so that they can hear that. As meaningful as it is for you guys, we say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as a believer, you're like, yes. He is my salvation. He is my only road to God. Okay, as much meaning as that has for us in English, okay, this has that for the Iski, if they understand the other truths and things. We want to be able to speak to them in that way where they can understand it at a heart level. So what's been done so far, since our team has moved in, and now I'm going to be using the royal we, this is like kind of me and my teammates, mostly my teammates, because I'm still learning the language and work, and we're able to be a part of this stuff. We were able to develop the orthography, get the alphabet together for the Iski, go through literacy. They know how to speak their language fluently. They've got that down, but learning how to read and write is a pretty new concept for a lot of our guys. And so learning how to read and write their own language, obviously for the goal of not just education, we want to be able to read and access God's word and be able to write and write out lessons and things, right? We want them to be taking their truths from God's word, not from us, just because we're missionaries, right? So been working at that. We were able to have a teaching time. We had 2 hours a day, 5 days a week for 4 months. Our entire village was able to meet in a room about the size of this one. They built this huge thatched pavilion type thing. Everybody would come for 2 hours every morning. They would listen to the lessons going chronologically from creation to the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and even a little bit into the New Testament to give a kind of a completed view of what's going on. We walked them through that following the theme of the Redeemer that's promised in Genesis after the fall of man. Eve, one of your descendants is going to come. The serpent will bruise his heel, but he will crush the serpent's head. Right? I'm going to send somebody who will defeat sin. And following that theme throughout Scripture, going up through, the people were eating it up. I mean, our village is a ghost town. Everybody was there every morning. Old people getting carried down on people's shoulders to be there to hear the teaching for the very first time in the Iski language. They never had access to this before. It's pretty incredible to be able to be there and witness that. And then 2 hours every afternoon, they would meet on top of all of that stuff to listen to a recording and review the lesson that they'd had that morning. So 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for 4 months. The Iski were sitting under this in our village, the village of Oguru, and really taking it to heart, really... A true openness amongst the Iski. They're saying that we want more. We want, like it said, this has the ring of truth. That we need this. We need this more. Like we need what you guys are offering. They're super, super excited about that. And then we get to this. Pretty cool. I don't find any fault in this guy, but hey, I'll give him into your hands. I don't see any, that's Pilate up there. Jesus in front. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Gives me goosebumps watching that. We use the dramas to kind of help illustrate different things to people across as a very foreign aspect and stuff. So to go through and show them that, you guys, you could have heard a pin drop when we were going through that, because they've been brought through, right? They're following their need of a savior. They're following their lostness and sin. They get, okay, I'm part of Satan's clan. I was born into Satan's line. And yeah, I'm living it up. I'm living just like I'm one of those people. I'm a horrible, sinful person. This guy is the only thing, the only way that I can have it, but he's perfect. Okay, he's never done anything wrong, and not only that, he's just an amazing, amazing person. He's God himself. He came down, and they see the depiction of Christ, this beautiful, perfect person being killed because of them, being killed because of how awful they are, right? Taking it and really internalizing it. It's really incredible being able to see that, to see them really get it with that foundation that we were able to lay over those 4 months. It was really cool. They were really able to grab onto this stuff. And boom, the Iski Church was born a year and a half ago. It was really exciting. It was really not exciting at first. We did that whole thing and we give, okay, finally the culmination, Jesus dies for your sin. And we'd been doing this thing where we were asking every day after the message, we'd be like, hey, so what are you guys' thoughts about this? Oh, I think this, I think that. And they kind of give like testimonials about what they're thinking about the teaching and stuff. We get to hear them, like, anybody have any thoughts? And we're just kind of like looking at us. We're like, dude, did we miss it? Like, did we not did we not communicate well? This is kind of supposed to be the pinnacle of this whole thing. And they all just kind of left, like, oh, all right. And then the next day we came back, we did like the resurrection, which is cool, right? That's a big important part, but we kind of focus on this. Like, so okay, that's it. That's kind of the end of the story. There's a few more things we'll talk about, but that's basically what we came here to tell you guys. Any thoughts? And people started standing up, and it was just amazing the testimonies you're hearing. Oh, like, Seth, it was so powerful. It meant so much to us yesterday to see Jesus dying for me, that he took my sin, that he died for me. I just had to go home and think about it. Like, it was just too heavy. We just went and we sat in our gardens, and we just sat and thought about that and talked with each other. But then the next day, after it kind of settled a bit, they were so excited. I mean, it just went on and on and on, the testimonies that were coming of people. It was beautiful, too. I mean, they knew more on day one of their Christian walk, right? Because the foundation that was laid, they were giving testimonies that when I went to Bible school, and the dean, I've been born and raised a Christian, basically, my whole life. I believed at a really young age, grew up in the church, really. Anytime the doors were open, I was there. My dean's like, hey, so what do you need to know to be saved? And I was like, oh, stumbling and stammering and kind of like not sure what to include and whatnot and all that stuff. These guys on day one were like spot on. I mean, they just went through from the beginning, going through like, this is why what Jesus did for me is enough. This is why I am so confident that right now I'm a child of God, and it's all because of what this man did. It was so cool. Super cool. Guys, to be on the front row, front lines, and see the Iski Church born. Like, in eternity, in Revelation, there will be voices of Iski people around the throne of God singing his praises. And I got to be there and watch it happen. I was like, I remember when you guys came. Like, I remember, I was there when you were born, right? Oh, people say that to you, like, oh, I remember when you were just like, I remember when the Iski Church was born. Like, it's really cool. We were able to do that because of how God has set this up, including the church. We've been able to go through Acts, introduced the concept of baptism to the guys, which is cool, identifying publicly your position that's already been established. Sorry, I gotta get moving here. I'm eating up everybody's time. Go through the sacraments and communion and stuff, that idea of coming together under those things. That's communion, by the way, coconut water and sago bread. It's like cornstarch, but you cook it in a frying pan. Tastes like it came from a tree, because it did. All right, so now with the with the Iski, we were in the village of Oguru. We are in the village of Oguru. That's where we are. So now the church is established there. They're growing in their faith. They're going through the book of Romans right now as we're gone. And that's all happening, but the work's not done for sure because they're just one little village. We want this to go out amongst the entire Iski people. And so now we're looking towards building up this church so they can come to maturity so that they then can take this message out to other villages and see churches established. We're going for the long haul. We're working on translating the New Testament and all of that. So as you guys look at this, this is what we've been a part of. This is what we've been doing. And to tie it in with what we were talking about earlier, about all the other people groups, I mean, if you look at this map, that's cool. I mean, this is the Iski. The Iski people group is being reached with the gospel. They're no longer an unreached people group. They're a reached slash growing, right? There's a population there who knows the gospel solidly, and we're hoping that'll continue to spread up through them. But right here, the Kaminimung, they're not part of our language group. They're a bordering language group. The Igana, they're not part of our language group. They're another one. The Rao over here, the Bang up here, they're not part of our language group. These guys are sending delegations. I'm not even kidding. I've got letters at home from these guys. 20 people coming. They say, all of our leaders of our villages have signed this. Everybody, we'll give you land. We'll give you food. We will do anything you want if you'll please send us missionaries. We want what's happening among the Iski to happen amongst us. Okay, that's what this list represents. Okay, these are the languages. These are the people that don't have access. And I'll personally, it's probably not the right view, but how I have it, it's when people die and go to hell and don't know God, that's a really, really sad thing. But when someone dies and goes to hell not knowing God, but knows that they don't know God and says, I please help me, please, please, please. When someone goes begging and pleading the church to help them, and then they go and they die because no one would go. I've got to tell these guys to come in the community. Like, aren't there believers? Aren't there people like back in your country that could come and help them? Like, yeah, there are. There's a lot of them. Can you get them to come? I can't do anything. I'm just a guy back home. Like, I'm just a nobody back home. I'll tell them, but I have no power over anyone else to do anything. But guys, this is what that list is. The Kaminimung, the Igana, the Rao, the Bang. Thousands more. There are people who don't know Christ. Some who know they don't know Christ, and they want it, but they don't have access to it in their language. So if you guys could just be thinking about that, that's our please pray for us picture. We'll be going back in 3 weeks as a family. I've got to finish up the language so we can really get in and engage in the discipleship and the teaching and the translation and stuff. We are looking for prayer supporters. Okay, we're looking to grow our base in that. This is a difficult work. It's not easy. There's a lot of challenges. And I'm just a very average person, so that makes it frustrating because it's a difficult task. So we're looking for prayer supporters. We are looking for financial supporters. And I'll be honest, I'm looking for people. Okay, the need is great. The harvest truly is plentiful. The workers really are few. We need people. I would just love it if your church could, as a body, sacrifice a couple of its members and just pick a couple and be like, okay, you're going out. We're going to do something here because this is a job that God has given to us, right? This is our job. This is our job. Don't look to God to reach the world because he's doing it through us, right? He's doing it through his church. So let's keep that in mind. My wife and I will be out, Rochelle and I will be out in the foyer here by our table. If you have any questions, we got a sign-up sheet if you want a newsletter or things like that, prayer cards, whatever. Love to talk to you guys afterwards. Thanks a lot for your time, attention. I appreciate it.